The gospel for today is found in the 15th chapter of John. And last night I got the idea of just making out these, and it's kind of nice to go on the internet and you just click on it and put it on a page and run it off. So I thought it would be good to have during the sermon to have that. So a word from John. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withered. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you." It's a joy for me to be here with you today. And thank you for the invitation. And thanks to Becky and the praise band and ushers and all of those who made my job very, very easy. I've never, ever preached in a church where I don't have to, where I haven't had to do a lot more than just preaching. So it's been a pleasure. It was good to talk to Lisa yesterday, and that Bob is doing excellent. Bob and I worked together for 7 years in Sioux City, where I was a pastor at Morningside Lutheran. And with me today is my wife, right up here, and also our daughter Amy and her husband Russ, who live in Storm Lake, came here today. Thank you all for everything that you have done here, and especially the prayer before. And if you want to keep a copy of that John 15 kind of available, I will refer to some of the verses as we go through. When Karen and I arrived as new missionaries in Colombia, South America, we were taken to one of the congregations of the Colombian Lutheran Church. And I noticed that when I went into the house of the missionary pastor there was a vine that was over the door of a room that was leading into the courtyard. And you will see up on the screen what he told me. He told me No, that is not a dead vine. It looked absolutely dead. I didn't know what it was. But he told me that this was a vine that had just produced the grapes. And then when it goes into the winter season, then it has to be pruned. And so it looks dead. Well, the reason for that is that in order to grow good grapes, he explained, 90 to 95% of the growth of that particular year has to be pruned off of the branch. And so that's why you see in the display here, the picture of the grape vines, they look absolutely dead. But the reason for this is that from that 5 to 10% that is left, the next year there will be a sprout coming out of it, and it will produce a branch that will actually produce the grapes. So the grapes aren't growing on the old branches. It's from the new branches. And the closer that branch gets to the vine, it will be the sweetest and best wines. And if during the season then of growing, if there's a bunch of grapes that's not doing so well, the gardener will come, and if there are smaller bunches there, they will clip those off, and maybe even clip off part of the branch in order that one that is kind of struggling will get more nutrition from the vine and will produce great grapes. But the branches that do not produce any grapes will be cut off the vine completely and thrown into the fire and burned. Now, who is the vine and who are the branches that Jesus refers to here in John? Well, clearly in verse 1 and 5, Jesus says that he is the true vine. And the branches are all those who have heard Jesus, believe in him as Messiah, God in the flesh, and profess to be his followers. Now, who are the branches that bear fruit? They are the true believers that remain in Christ, those who have a close relationship with the Lord and actually follow him. They demonstrate that they are disciples by the fruit that they produce. They remain in Christ and acknowledge that apart from him, we can do nothing. We will talk a little later about what the fruit is for these branches. But who are the branches that bear no fruit? These are those who profess to be believers, but do not show it by their actions or their character. As we often say, well, they didn't practice what they preach. Some abandon Jesus when difficulties or opposition came to them, and they had a lot of opposition from the Jewish leaders. Some had their own desires or ideas about what should be done, and they wanted to do their own thing. But unfruitfulness always invites disaster and trouble in our lives. And we'll go back to pruning a little bit here. Please note that in verse 2, that even those who produce fruit need trimming. It says, every branch that does bear fruit, he trims clean. And this word for clean in the Greek can be also translated as prune. And it all depends on the context of which the translator chooses the word to use. But we know in our lives, too, that adversity comes to us many times. Discouragement, loss, all kinds of difficulty and troubles come to us. But if we look to Jesus, we will be strengthened in our Christian character and faith, so that, as it says in verse 2, they will be even more fruitful. But there is one sin that needs pruning that no one of us is immune to. It threatens our relationship, our remaining with Jesus. And that sin is a sin of pride. Pride is really the root of all sin. And it causes misery in our world. Writer Rick Warren has written, humility is not thinking less of yourself, it is thinking of yourself less. Let me do that again. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it is thinking of yourself less. You see, pride is thinking of yourself first. The temptation is to focus on ourselves, wanting to be the center of importance, wanting to be God. We go back to Genesis 3, where Satan says to Adam and Eve about the eating of the fruit that God has forbidden them to eat in the garden. You can decide what is good and evil if you eat that. In other words, if you eat of that fruit, then you can be like God. You can decide what is good. You can decide what is evil. Sound familiar in our day and age? Where everything that someone says is true, or at least we think it is, huh? But that's not what the scripture says. Only God knows what is good and evil. We do not. Pride is the illusion that a person is better, superior, more intelligent, more important, deserving of more praise and more powerful than others. At the risk of getting into trouble here and being misunderstood, I'd like to give an illustration. Let's say, and what I'm saying is not going to be true, it's only the illustration, okay? Let's say I feel today that I am the center of importance because I am the preacher today. Pride wants me to feel better or superior to others with a sermon. But the interesting thing is that pride can also attack us in the opposite way. If we focus on ourselves, if I now focus on myself, I will have thoughts of not being good enough. And I can just go into despair or depression or whatever. And I could be saying, well, why in the world did I accept the call to be your preacher today? I can think, well, I'll never do that again. I just can't do it. Have you ever had that with challenges? of something that you've never done before, or even something that you've done before and had a bad experience or whatever, and you say, well, I can't do that. In a sense, it's a sin of pride, because maybe you can. Well, if I feel either way, either better or not good enough, God will then prune me, and I do need to repent of my sin. I need to look to Jesus and learn the opposite of pride, which is humility. As we read in the response from Philippians 2, to remain in Jesus, we all need to learn from Jesus' example. In humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Verse 4. Verse 6 and 7, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. In other words, his example, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. To overcome pride and learn humility, or anything else that we attempt, self-help methods will not work for us. In our gospel for today, Jesus says, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now that's quite a statement. Apart from me, you can do nothing. He didn't say, well, if you work in the church and do things like that, then this applies. You can't do it unless you remain in Jesus. No, it says in nothing. Wherever we are in our lives, in everyday life, apart from Jesus, you cannot do it well. Or you're with the wrong attention to it. To overcome pride, we need to remain in Jesus. It's the only way to bear good fruit. Now, what is good fruit? It's the evidence of Christian characteristics and faith and practice in our lives. Now let's go through some of the examples that we see here in our gospel for today. In verse 7, it says, remaining in Jesus in order that we might have new life, have his presence with us every moment of the day or night, to have his power, to have his wisdom. Second characteristic in verse 8, giving God the glory in all that we say and do. The third characteristic, verse 7, my words remain in you. In other words, the words of the Bible that we read in our own studies at home or wherever it might be, maybe from a devotional book. And I was so pleased to see that you have My Daily Bread. Karen and I have used that My Daily Bread for years and have been truly blessed and inspired by it. The fourth characteristic, also verse 7, ask whatever you wish. That asking, of course, is prayer. The privilege of talking to our Lord directly. And prayer is offered to Jesus according to his will and to his glory. He will answer because he loves each and every one of us. And he cares about us and what we're going through and experiencing in our lives. And 5, verse 10, the blessings of obeying Jesus and doing his will. If we obey the commands of Jesus, we will have no regrets. Just a wonderful life. And the 6th characteristic, verse 11, the joy of Jesus in your heart and in your mind. No matter what the circumstances are that you are experiencing, you can have joy. And then this is repeated by Jesus in a prior chapter, in chapter 10, John 10:10. And this is from a contemporary paraphrase Bible called the Messenger. I came so they can have a real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. That's a new life that Jesus promises for you and for me. And then finally, the 7th characteristic in verses 9 and 10, the warmth and encouragement of his love for us, for you. And because of his love, you and I can love others. Now, in conclusion, I'd like to request that you close your eyes and imagine that Jesus is speaking to you directly here today. Please close your eyes. Dear friend, remain in me. I love you, and I want you to grow closer to me in this new year. I want you to receive new life and deeper faith today and every moment of every day. As the branches of grapes are nourished by the sap of the wine or the vine, I want to spiritually nurture you so that you will produce much fruit to show that you are my disciples, to the glory of my Father. And I will give you the strength to face all conditions by the power I will give you, as my servant Paul wrote in Ephesians 4:13. Amen. As our response to Jesus, we sing the hymn, Spirit of the Living God. And the Spirit here is the Spirit that Jesus sent to us.
Thank you. spend some time praying for Patty. I was thinking last night about how to encourage Patty, and I wanted to read to you from Psalm 145, or Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your